Okay, well, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. We're starting a little late, and so this will be a bit of a shorter session. We had a longer chapel Eucharist because of All Saints Day. But we are in 2 Corinthians 11, and we're going to pick up at verse 5. In verse 4, Paul has sort of been accusing the Corinthians of being willing to accept other messages. So in verse 4, just quickly, for if one comes preaching another Jesus, whom we did not preach, he says, or you receive another spirit which you did not receive, or another gospel which you did not receive, you bear with it well enough. So again, this is Paul is sort of contending here, being a little offensive, if I could say it that way. So verse 5 might conceivably sound something like, logizomai gar me den histere kenai ton hiperlion apostolon. Now my ability to read Greek is limited. I can't read it sarcastically, but there's a little bit of apostolic sarcasm that's cranking in here in verse 5. For I reckon... Or as in Texan, you'd say, "Ah, reckon," like that. Now we have an infinitive. Histere kenai is actually a perfect infinitive active from histereo, which means to lack something or fall short of. This is probably the most well-known use of this verb is in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you fall short of something in the genitive. And so the object of the infinitive is the super good apostles, the hyperleon, superlative or something like that. Now, the infinitive here, after logizomai, is expressing indirect discourse. And so if you translated it woodenly, it would be, for I reckon to have come short of the super-duper apostles. And then we have meden, which is a neuter singular accusative, and it's an adverbial accusative. You see this in the New Testament more often than any of us would like to admit, where you just have an accusative pronoun or noun, and it's kind of like a dative of respect, with respect to nothing. And in English, we would say, in no way, or something like that. So, again, woodenly, for I reckon in no way to have come short of the super-duper apostles. And if you wanted to smooth it out, you might give a that translation. For I reckon that I come short, or you might even render it something like am less than the super-duper apostles in no way. And by the way, if you're wondering if the translation super-duper for hyperleon, I got that straight from the lexicon, so trust me on that. It's Bob's lexicon and car repair, that lexicon. Right. Again, remember that all the way back in 1 Corinthians 1, the problem is that one of the manifestations of the Corinthians' underlying problem is that they like to compare one teacher to another, right? I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and so forth and so on. We don't exactly know who these super-duper apostles are personally, but they're there, and they're undermining Paul's authority, right? And now he's speaking to that. Okay, any comments on verse 5? Questions like, what's that letter? Or why did the Spirit have to use Greek when he could have used English? Or something like that, right? Okay, very good. Verse 6. Eide kai idiotes to logo al ou te gnose. Al en pante phanerosantes en pasen eis humas. Now, it's been a great relief for a few verses not to have any strange participles, but here we have one. We'll get to it. An idiotes is an amateur, okay, or a layman. Right? That's what the lexicon, the real lexicon, actually suggests that as a gloss. And, of course, there's no verb and there's no subject. There's just a nominative noun. Idiotes is like mathetes. So it's just the masculine singular nominative. So, of course, naturally, we understand to supply, if I am a layman or, a novice or something, with respect to logos, that is, with respect to, you might even render this rhetoric. Because, again, from 1 Corinthians, part of the issue is that Paul doesn't communicate in, and this is another technical phrase like super-duper, fancy-schmancy way, okay? This is part of what the Corinthians are sort of lusting after. And Paul simply refuses to do it because if you do that, it has the danger of emptying the cross of its message. Because if there's anything that's the opposite of fancy-schmancy, it's the cross, right? Now, if I am a layman in speech or in rhetoric, Paul says. Now, Allah is kind of intensifying the then clause. We have if then. Indeed, not, and you have to fill in the blanks here, not I am an idiotes with respect to knowledge or in connection with knowledge, gnose, right? Rather, here's the case. In everything, manifesting in connection with everyone or maybe all things unto you. Well, that was pretty clear, wasn't it? No, it wasn't clear. We have a number of problems here. Phanerosantes, if you parse it, would be aorist participle active, masculine plural nominative. And, of course, we don't have any masculine plural nominative reference around here. It's been I'm a layman, but not in knowledge and so forth. And so we're just going to supply we. We're going to supply a we here, and we're going to pretend. By the way, I feel better about this. I asked Dr. Vels about the Greek of 2 Corinthians, and he said it's the hardest Greek in the New Testament. And so I feel very happy that he said that. We're going to just pretend that this is a shortened periphrasis. And shortened periphrasis would be, what? A good name for a band, right? Right? Really, we'll supply we are S-men, and then we'll put a participle. We are manifesting. What? Knowledge or something like that in everything, in every way, unto you. Really, it's very broken. I take comfort in the fact that Titus probably went with this letter as it was read in the churches, and he could explain things. Really, the Greek is very, very challenging. I don't know what else to do with that masculine plural nominative participle. Eric?
Is there evidence that with the absence of such pronouns and
yeah.
things, that gives in Greek in general a punch?
Because the syntax is broken. That's a good question, which is, for people who are listening only, is this kind of broken syntax have kind of a rhetorical force or punch to it? Kyle?
That would increase the irony because he's saying he's not a good rhetorician.
Well, I know it might, yeah. And the answer is, at least in code, you've raised an important question, but we don't have time to talk about it, which, of course, is code for I don't know. Yeah, right. Yeah, I've actually have had the thought about 1 Corinthians. The sentences in 1 Corinthians are very short. Now, again, you don't get this brokenness of syntax or difficulty of syntax in 1 Corinthians, so I'm thinking, okay, different scribe. Part of it is explained just by a different scribe. But if you read Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and then you read 1 Corinthians, you think, man, these sentences are easy. Compared to, and so maybe Paul is at the very least, you know, setting aside, again, the technical term, fancy schmancy stuff. Kyle?
Just so I'm following his logic correctly, we're taking the conditional sentence as a first class.
Yeah, it would be a first class. If I'm this.
Which I am.
Yeah, right. And yeah, but I'm not. Let's grant that for the sake of argument.
Okay.
Right. Exactly. if I am this, I'm not that with respect to knowledge. Right. Right. Rather, here's what we are. We are manifesting in every way in connection with all things unto you. Right? Something like that. And now it gets sarcastic. Okay? So are you ready for a little apostolic sarcasm? Okay. Ruth, you shouldn't have nodded quite that vigorously. That makes me wonder.
I love sarcasm.
Okay, well, there you go. Now I don't wonder anymore. Verse 7. A hamarte'an epoiesa hemautan tapenon hina hu meis hypso theta hati dorian ta tu theu evangelion eo angelisamen humin. Question. Or, epoiesa is the aorist of poio. Did I sin? Humbling myself. Tapenon is the present participle of tapenao. Maybe you could take it temporally. The person doing the humbling here would be a masculine singular nominative one, and there isn't such a referent, but it's the I of I did. Or did I sin while I was humbling myself, or maybe by humbling myself, in order that you might be hypsaod, in order that you might be exalted. For, now we get the verb at the end, I preached euangelisamen. Euangelizomai is mostly deponent. Apologize for that. So it just has an active meaning here. I preached good news to you. Now back to the huti. Doreon is literally, it's just a noun. It means gift. But again, it's an adverbial accusative. That is, it's just an accusative noun, and it translates with reference to gift. And it can mean freely. It can mean in vain. And here it probably means at no cost, given what Paul is about to say. Because while he was in Corinth, of course, he worked with his own hands. He was, as it's typically translated, at least a tent maker. But see, we moderns think that everyone would think that was a great idea. Oh, Paul worked with his own hands. Isn't that responsible? Sorry, it's a sign of low status. Rich people, powerful people don't work. That's why they have time to write literature and compose music and be benefactors in the ancient world. See, so we hear this and we say, oh, everyone would agree that Paul did a wonderful thing by working with his own hands. No, he was actually inviting sort of a scorn. Because if you were really fancy schmancy or super duper, you wouldn't have to work because you would be dependent on some wealthy benefactor. And Paul says, I deliberately didn't do that. See, so really, here's the eye of Corinthian culture, and First and Second Corinthians are a huge stick right in the eye of Corinthian culture. Really, it's very countercultural in many ways. So, and then we haven't got the direct object yet, and it's ta tu theou evangelion, the gospel of God. So, cleaning up all of that, or sarcasm, did I sin by humbling myself in order that you might be exalted? Because I preach to you the gospel of God at no cost, freely. Kyle?
Is it possible that that's not an adverbial accusative, but just a double accusative, so as a gift?
Actually, yes, it is possible. I hadn't thought about it, but you're right. It could be translated, I preach the gospel as a gift. Right. Good. That would be a predicate accusative, or an object complement, to use Wallace's category. Yeah, very nice. Okay. All right, let's see. Let's just get verse 8 in, and that'll be in the middle of a sentence. But since I had to look up what sulao means, I'd like to translate it before I forget. Verse 8. Allas ekklesias esulesa labon opsonion prostein humon diakonion. Here's what happened. Esulesa, this is from sulao, which means to defraud or rob. He's, and it's an weak aorist, indicative active, first singular. I robbed allas ecclesias, other churches, by taking wages, support, opsonion, means it can be used in the military of ration money, okay? By taking support toward the ministry of you, literally, toward the of you ministry, which probably means something like in order to minister to you. So it would be an objective genitive in that sense. And then Paul goes on to defend himself and his practice, which is being criticized by the super apostles in Corinth. And let's see, James, the Lord is glad you're here, but we're stopping. You're late, but the Lord still, wait, sit down so we can say, thank you for coming to Greek Club. I'll see you next week. Okay, bye.